If you have your Bibles, I'd like to encourage you to open them to the book of Ruth. We got almost a chapter I'm going to read. Today's going to be a shorter time because we're going to enjoy an awesome Christmas play program by our young people. But maybe to prepare our hearts, we'll go here first. So Ruth 2, 1 through 13, and then I'm going to read 19 through 23. So almost a whole chapter. It says, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go into the field and glean among the ears of the grain after him in whose eyes I shall find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who is of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, 'Whose young woman is this?' And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, 'She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go up and glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have not I charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the day of the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." And then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And then if you'll skip down to verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed is the man who took notice of you." And she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today was Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young woman of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask that you would tune our hearts, as the hymnist says, to sing your praise. That when we see you like you are, and how you move and act and change and encourage and uplift and give strength and bless, when we see those things, we would praise. So tune our hearts to sing your praise, especially about the Redeemer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The passage we read is part of a true story about two widows and how they found God's smiling favor, his grace, in the hardest season of their lives. It's part of a true story about God, who is providentially working to bring about his redemption, both in the individual lives of Ruth and Naomi, and ultimately in the world through Jesus Christ. Ruth is a true story that ought to help you safely turn to God or return to God if you've wandered away from him, and seek refuge under the wings of God, as it were. We're tapping this to focus our hearts and minds for Advent this year. We need to see God's grace to us through the hard things, really. so that we can see that the way that God is bringing about his plan of redemption. I mean, we need to see this story so that we can understand that, both in our lives and in this world. We're reading this book together, this Advent season, so that we might safely hope in God, or return to God, so that we might seek refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Now, let me give you a bit of the backstory, just in the briefest of terms. The story begins with Naomi and her husband, a Hebrew couple that lived in Bethlehem 3,000 years ago, with their two sons. And because of a famine, they fled to Moab, a pagan land. And then the father, Elimelech, dies. And the two sons intermarry Moabite women named Orpah and Ruth. And so there's five left, six to start, and then five. Naomi and her two sons and daughter-in-laws, and then there were two. The two sons die also, and Orpah returns to her father's household. Now it's just Naomi and Ruth. So she said in chapter 1, I left full, and I've come back empty. And despite Naomi's urging, Ruth has promised to stay with her aging mother-in-law. She has said, where you die, that's where I'm going to die. I'm not leaving you. And she's a Moabitess, she's from a different place, but she's made this commitment to Naomi. And so the two of them return, destitute but together, to Bethlehem, right at the harvest. Famine's over. And that's where we're picking this story up this morning. For a few moments, we'll think about the way God's plan of redemption is unfolding for Naomi and Ruth, and eventually for all of us in Christ. That will be our meditation. And my hope is that we will see God and his faithfulness and his providence and his love and his mercy and his grace, and we will trust in him. Or if we've wandered away, that we will return and find refuge under his wings, like Naomi. So in verse 3, it says that Ruth happened to come to a part of the field that belonged to Boaz. The Hebrew behind that phrase, happened to come, is very interesting. It's something like the happenstance that happened, or as chance would have it, or something like that. She ended up in Boaz's field. I'm not sure that's the best way to frame it, but it communicates a few things very well. It communicates first that Ruth is not intentionally going to Boaz's field. Like, she didn't know about this. She didn't really know what was going on, who Boaz was yet. You know, in the first verse, it introduced Boaz and who he was, but she didn't know yet. That was the narrator for our sake. But as luck would have it, there she is in Boaz's field. I'm going to return to that thought in a moment. But to get to this story, we need to understand the kinsman redemption custom, okay? And I don't want to bore you, but it's really important to get the story. When Naomi says in verse 20 that Boaz is one of our redeemers, what she meant was that Boaz was a relative of her dead husband who was close enough to assume the family line by marriage, to assume the responsibility of the family, to keep the name going, to keep the land that belonged to the family. All of those things had to happen by a kinsman redeemer. Somebody, if she married somebody else, she'd marry into a different line. And that would estrange her from Elimelech's line and land and all of that. So in those days, if your brother died without a son, if you're a man and your brother died without a son, and he was married, you could, and in a sense you should, there was if it was possible, you should marry his widow in order to keep the family from becoming destitute, keep the lineage going, keep the name, you know, the last name going, and so on. And that was the kinsman redeemer custom that serves as a backdrop for the book of Ruth. Now, if Ruth married anyone other than a kinsman redeemer, okay, she could. Ruth was a Moabite. She could marry anyone she wanted. She was a widow. But if she married anyone other than a kinsman redeemer, Naomi would be destitute. Because now her allegiance would be to a new family, not the old one. Do you get that? She would not need to care for her dead husband's mother. That would be not her responsibility anymore, because she'd have a new husband. So everything is on the line for Naomi in Ruth's marriage. But remember, Ruth said, where you die, I'll die. She's made a lifelong commitment to Ruth. So here we are. And wow, what are the odds, right? That she would stumble right onto Boaz's field. Amazing odds. Out of the entire land surrounding the town of Bethlehem, this young foreign widow happens to come to a field that's owned by one of her kinsmen redeemers. And there are not many. I think there's two kinsmen redeemers for her. She could have ended up anywhere, but she was there. What fate, what luck, what chance were going on in her side that day. This is a woman you'd want to take to Vegas with you. Not that you should go to Vegas. Shouldn't go to Vegas. But luck was on her side. Of course, she didn't happenstance to happen anywhere, did she? The language is so full of irony, and it's for our sake. The God of all creation was working providentially in and through these events to bring about his redemptive plan. There's no doubt. That's what the whole book of Ruth is about. This isn't a story of a young woman who is very lucky. This is a story about a young woman upon whom God was smiling. Ruth was not cleverly positioning herself so that she could marry Boaz, and Naomi wasn't pulling strings there to get her into that field. With the language of verse 2, the author wants you and I to know that she legitimately had no idea. She just picked a field. And she picked it freely. I love that. Maybe it looked nicer to her than the field next to it. Maybe the harvesters seemed like pretty good people who wouldn't mind her presence. Maybe like the next field was over a hill and she didn't want to carry her harvest back over that hill. We don't know. We don't know all that's going on in Ruth's mind as she chose that field, but she chose it. She really chose it. She happened to be on Boaz's field. A tiny little decision which made it possible for her to meet Boaz, whom she would later marry. She met this guy, right? Happenstance. He was a redeemer. He notices her. He likes what he sees. He likes her faithfulness. He likes her kindness. This tiny decision, which field should I go to today, eventually led to marriage, to hope, to a child born in Bethlehem, to a king, to the King of Kings being born in Bethlehem. She happened onto a field, and that tiny happenstance would massively affect everything for Ruth and Naomi. And you know what? That's my story too. I'm so grateful for God's providence and happenstance in my life and the way he has worked so that I am where I am today. One little example. When I was 25 years old, I sat down with a group of mission leaders to plan the summer out. It was early 1999. I was 25 in 1999. You can do the math. I'm 30 now. And I was coordinating the short-term mission efforts of a major evangelical mission board. During the summers and winters, that meant for me that I'd be recruiting college students and I'd be training them and then I'd be leading them overseas to some tribal missions area and we'd be doing missions work together every summer, every winter. I did this for 5 years. And so I had just returned actually from before this, like a day before this, from a whirlwind two-month trip to Oceania. So I was in Papua New Guinea and some tribal areas. I was in Australia. So I was in New Zealand. I was in Hawaii for a few days. It was a really tough time in my life. But we met that day in Sanford, Florida to plan the summer. We needed a leader for two teams. That was what we were set out to do. Papua New Guinea needed a leader for the summer. And then Siberia needed a leader for their summer team, a college team. And going in, I knew that I was heading to one of those two places that summer. I was single, and I was the guy that was always picked to go on these things. But I had no idea which, and they both seemed like great opportunities. Either was fine with me. They happened to choose Siberia, this council of missionaries. And so that summer, off to Siberia I went. I had no idea what God was up to. No idea. Because of that trip, I became a church planter in Siberia for many years, long term. Because of that trip, I met and married my wife, Maya. Because of that trip, we eventually had three kids in Siberia. And because of that trip, I ended up in Florida as a pastor in 2008. And because of that trip, at least the events that came from that, I'm here now in Chadron preaching this message to you this morning on Ruth. Tiny little meeting. Massive things in my life that God was up to. My point is that God is always at work. He is always accomplishing his providential will. It's amazing to think about the different ways things could go, right? And that God is using all of those things, big and small, to accomplish his plan. And of course, you shouldn't confuse that with fatalism. We have to make decisions. We do things. Our lives are profoundly affected by the things that we do, for better or for worse. We make real choices. They really affect people. Other people make real choices that really affect us. It's all real. And we're responsible. We're totally responsible for the decisions we make. Absolutely. We're making the real choices, real decisions, all of it genuine and real. And we are totally responsible for what we do. But the point is, our ultimate hope is not in the shifting sands of 1,000 different circumstances. Our hope is not in shifting sand. You get that? Our hope is not in happenstance. Our hope is that in and through and behind all of the circumstances of life, we have a God who is good and sovereign and accomplishing his will according to the purpose of his will. Ephesians 1:11 says he's accomplishing all things according to the purpose of his will. That's our hope. And it is rock solid because God is rock solid. So you know what? I can sing at the end of my days, wherever this journey leads me, I can sing at the end of my days with the hymnist of old, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? I can trust him every day. God is absolutely at work in Ruth and Naomi's lives. He is still leading them as we read this story. They've just gone through the hardest thing imaginable. I mean, some of the hardest things people could possibly go through. They've lost everything. In chapter 1, Naomi laments the bitter cup she's been made to drink. But God has not left her to drink bitterness forever. In God's loving providence, and through seeming happenstance, one after another, Naomi will again know the sweetness of God's grace to her. Ruth will taste it too, and her hope will be in God. Look with me at verse 12. Boaz said, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." I think Boaz nails it there. Ruth has sought refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel. Back in chapter 1, Naomi urges Ruth to go back to her gods, little g. Back to her people, the gods of her people. Go back to your pagan land. And you know, there's a sense in which here's Naomi and she's drinking a bitter cup, and Ruth saw it all and tasted some of it too. And so there's this thought, well, maybe it'd be better to go back to those gods. If this God, Yahweh, that you serve has done that, maybe it's better to go to those gods, little g. But she doesn't do that. She doesn't do that. Knowing all that she knows about God and that bitter cup even that he's allowed Naomi to drink for a while, she says, "Your God will be my God." She has seen enough of God to know that he is good, even though sometimes his smile, as it were, is obscured to us by what seems like frowning providence. In hard things, she took refuge under the wings of God. Are you taking refuge under the wings of God today? Is he your hope? You can't work this out. You cannot work this out on your own. But God is a rock upon which you can stand forever. And many of you know where this story leads. It's part of the backstory of the play that we're about to see together. This is part of the backstory of the advent of Jesus Christ. You see, after this happenstance, Ruth and Boaz marry, and they have a son. He'll be born in a town called Bethlehem, a little child of redemption. Think of it. Naomi gets to take care of her grandson. She had given up hope, but then she holds the child of hope in her arms. She becomes his nurse. God is so good to Naomi, so pleasant. And this child will be the grandfather of King David and the ancestor of another child born of redemption in Bethlehem, the Redeemer, the child of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. In God's sweet providence, Jesus was born. God became a man, and he lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross as a substitute for your sins, because we are all sinners. We are all in need of redemption. So Jesus stood in our place, paid our penalty on the cross, died for us, and he was buried. He was really dead, and God raised him again on the third day. This was God's grace to you, his smile, in order to redeem you and in order to redeem all who had faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm wondering, will you find your refuge under the wings of the Lord today, like Ruth did? Will you trust in him with the hard things that you're facing this Christmas season? Because I know some of you are facing some really hard things, some health issues. I know about them, some of them, and some of them I probably don't. A lot of them I probably don't. Will you trust in him? Will you find in him your refuge? Some of you have really hard marriages right now. I know a rock upon which you can stand. If you've wandered away from God today, and I know that some of you have, will you return to him today? You'll find him faithful and gracious. You'll find forgiveness as you come back to him. Naomi did. The Advent is not merely a story like any other story. It is God moving in and through human history to redeem for himself his people. What's your response to that today? As you see this morning, what's your response? Oh, I hope it is faith and peace and joy and confidence in God that will sustain you through everything. That's what this is about. And devotion. I hope it stirs that up too in your hearts. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are so good to us, so kind. And Lord, we have a hard time sometimes seeing your smile, but we see it in Christ. And today, Father, I pray with open hearts it would be on full display for us and would result in faith, stronger faith, more confidence in you, more resolve to follow you with our lives, and maybe even repentance. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.